Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When we previewed yesterday's doubleheader, we knew the Atlanta Braves would have a significant advantage in Game 2 with Chris Sale on the mound against a sixth starter like Randy Vasquez. So we knew the Padres really had to target Game 1 as the one you want to make sure you get that first one. And it did not start well for your San Diego Padres yesterday. It was the kind of game that on social media, fans were kind of throwing in the towel fairly early on a long day.
I almost took a nap. I didn't.
It was understandable when you put your most dominant pitcher on the mound in Dylan Cease, and he gets roughed up for 9 hits, 5 earned runs, 3 walks, 2 home runs in 4 innings. And the team falls behind 5-0 against Ronaldo Lopez, who is dealing
nasty.
It just feels like, oh, this is not going the way that we thought it was going to. This is maybe not the San Diego Padres day. And you're already thinking about, oh, maybe they can find a way to beat Chris Sale in the second game and earn a split of this series. And you're just kind of hoping.
You kind of resigned yourself to the fact, knowing Sale was on the bump and Lopez pitching as well as he did and Cease pitching as poorly as he did. That perfect storm really led to you saying, man, a split, I guess we got to stick by it. Splitting in Atlanta is probably okay at the end of the day. But, man, what a furious comeback.
And by the way, the Padres Mike Schilt will never admit it because his team, he's all about, grinding it out and grit and fight and going for it. When he put Logan Gillespie into the game, you mentioned it. This was in Game 1.
Unsung hero.
In relief of Dylan Cease, it was as close to a white flag as you can fly in a baseball game. Obviously, they didn't give up. No one ever really totally gives up in a baseball game. But when you're taking your 27th roster man, the guy who was only there for that day, wouldn't be in the big leagues otherwise, except for the doubleheader rule that allows you to have an extra player, is not a big league caliber pitcher. I know he's been up there, but at this moment, they consider him to be a AAA pitcher. When you put him in, and the Braves are already up 5-0, that's the white flag of surrender. That is saying we're going to save our better pitchers for Game 2.
Yep, let the chips fall where they may.
And try to win it there.
Yep.
And Mike Schilt would never say that, never admit that. But that's the thinking. That's the strategy that's going on.
You don't have to say it.
It's a very legitimate. It's a long season. You save some of your better chips for a better situation when you have a chance to win. Surprise, surprise. Logan Gillespie keeps it at 5-0. Padres get one in the fifth on a Jackson Merrill RBI groundout. They get one more in the seventh on a Jackson Merrill RBI single. Johnny Brito keeps it right there. So now it's a 3-run game going into the eighth inning. And the Padres put together a rally against the bullpen. Once you walk the first hitter, and that was probably the cardinal sin that the Braves made in just getting the Padres going. And then a couple of hits strung together, didn't need a long fly. Jake Cronenworth comes through with a 2-run single.
2 strikes, too.
Yeah, that was a great at-bat.
Great piece of hitting, man.
And then Manny Machado, the guy who has been slumping, the guy who has come up in a couple of clutch situations, has the opportunity, down one with two runners on, to do something big and he did something big.
Pitch to Machado, line into left center. That's a base hit. Grofar rounding third, going to score easily to tie the game. Cronenworth is being waved. He's on his way. He's going to score. Not only have they tied it, they've come all the way back to go in front. And the Padres now lead it 6-5, a two-run double for Manny Machado.
Machado comes through with a big double.
That was huge. That was just a huge.
Machado.
I had my head in my hands. I mean, and when he hit it, I can't repeat the volume or the words that I screamed running around my house. It was just me and my wife at home yesterday. And I was so fired up for him because, you know, he's been much maligned this year. And I think, you know, for good reason. He has not swung the bat particularly well. And when he waved at that 0-1 slider, I went, oh, God, and here you're about to get two more of those. Why that dude threw him a fastball in the zone, I will never know. But Manny absolutely tattooed it to the gap and get you.
First pitch, too.
Yeah, second pitch. Swung a slider. And yeah, he pounded it in the gap. Needed it so badly. Needed it. And it's just such a good, you know, a good reminder of what he's capable of when he's locked in. And, you know, he's gotten a few hits this series and whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, we need him to be the Manny Machado of 2022. And it's nice to know that it's still in there a little bit. So, obviously, the glove never slumps. The glove is right. Fantastic. And you saw it in the second game with other guys playing third base, with Solano dropping that ball in the tag, with Solano not being able to get to that ball down the line, the ball over his head that Manny probably catches, doesn't have to leave his feet. It's just what he brings with the glove often gets overlooked and taken for granted, even by me, his biggest fan. But when he can contribute with the bat like that, it was so clutch. It was so awesome.
So the Padres take the 6-5 lead with a 4-run top of the 8th inning. And a couple of things are true at this point. For the Atlanta Braves, they're now on the verge of an inexcusable
loss. Oh,
100%. I tweeted it. I said, if I'm a Braves fan, I'm irate at the team not adding on against Logan Gillespie, at letting the Padres stick around in this game and then come back against the bullpen. I am irate, but they still have two opportunities to win the game. And that's when Mike Shildt did something, either you could say unexpected, or if you've been paying attention, maybe you did expect it. And we're going to talk about that. First, though, I want to throw out the phone lines because we need a contestant for Take on Woods, which is like 3 minutes away. So if you want to call and get online for the chance to take on Woods for the trip to Las Vegas, 833-288-0973. Call us now, 833-288-0973. All right, what Mike Shildt did was put in Jeremiah Estrada to protect what now is just about the most important one-run lead you've had in a long time. You do not want to now give this game back after you have fought back, knowing you've got Chris Sale to contend with in game two of the doubleheader. You have to lock down this win. That would be a crushing defeat at this point if you give up two runs in the eighth or two in the ninth. And with the game on the line, he goes with Jeremiah Estrada. The offseason pickup really wasn't talked about much, kind of one of those under-the-radar guys that was cast off from another organization that A.J. Preller saw something in and thought might have a place in the Padres bullpen. Well, he has been fantastic. He has an ERA now, I think 0.77 after getting through the eighth inning yesterday. He's got some of the best stuff plus and movement on his three pitches that he throws, and he has been terrific. And apparently, obviously not every day, but apparently, he's the new setup man to Robert Suarez, at least for now, in the San Diego Padres bullpen.
Yeah, they asked Shildt about it after the game, and we'll play some of Shildt's post-game audio as well later in the show, I'm sure. But he said, yeah, I mean, he's earned it, too. You know, he said I like the matchups there for him. He said, but he's also earned it, you know, which I like a lot. I feel a lot more confident with him in the eighth than Wandy Peralta. Nothing against Wandy. I just think Jeremiah Estrada's got better stuff. He's got more swing and miss stuff. And Wandy Peralta can get you a ground ball. And there's a lot of guys that's what they're good for.
He also gets you a lot of ground balls that go in the hole.
Correct.
For singles.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know.
So ground.
Oh, my gosh. I love this team.
Sometimes ground balls do find their way through to the outfield. But Jeremiah Estrada can absolutely go in and strike out the side. He's got the stuff to do it. So I love that move. And then, of course, Bobby Fastball's coming in. Seven pitches. Game's over.
With some help, from one of the best catches I've seen by an infielder this season.
No question.
Will have that highlight for you coming up a little bit later this hour. And when I say that highlight, you know I mean the Korean call of Ha Sung Kim's over-the-shoulder catch in the ninth inning. But we'll just do a little tease on that one coming up in a bit. Right now, though, let's get to it. It is time to play Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
Now, we got a Stephen v. Stephen battle today in Take on Woods, which is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Stephen, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. All right. You get a chance to beat or tie Woods and qualify for our grand prize. Two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino and two tickets to Warrant, Lita Ford, and Paralandra on June 22nd. Unforgettable night of pure rock bliss on June 22nd. Ticketmaster.com. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino featuring newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million in room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun. All right. To give you an advantage, Stephen, I will let you pick the category. Here are your choices. We've got Written by Prince. Those are five artists with hits that were actually written by Prince. In a Word, Nirvana. Those are one-word Nirvana titles with trivia questions that go with them. And our final category is Say Cheese. It's a bit of a mystery category. I'll just leave it at Say Cheese. So, Written by Prince, In a Word, Nirvana, or Say Cheese. What would you like to play?
Written by Prince.
Written by Prince. All right, five questions, 60 seconds, trying to identify five artists with hits that were actually written by Prince. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We'll get to it if there's time left on the clock at the end. First question's the two-second song. Polly's going to play a bit of music. You need to give me the title and the artist to score that point. Steven, are you ready to play?
Okay, let's do this.
Paul, you queued up? All right, Paul, he's good to go. All right, 60 seconds on the clock, Stephen. The category, Written by Prince. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
It's been 7 hours and 15.
Nothing compared
to Correct. In 1986, Prince set two recordings to which band that turned one of them, Manic Monday, into a signature hit?
The Bangles?
Correct. Which queen of funk became the first R&B artist to have a crossover hit with a rapper when she recorded a cover of Prince's I Feel For You in 1984?
Come on.
Correct. Stand Back was a 1985 solo hit for which raspy artist recorded the song with Prince's help after writing it while listening to Little Red Corvette? Which singer and drummer started collaborating with Prince at the start of her solo career in 1984, producing songs including her signature hit, The Glamour? Correct. Stand Back was a 1985 solo hit for which raspy artist who recorded the song with Prince's help after writing it while listening to Little Red Corvette?
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks! Yeah. And that is a 5 for 5. Steven, you are in for the trip to Las Vegas grand prize drawing. Stay on the line. Paulie's going to get all your information during the break. The only question now is whether it is an outright win or a tie. Woods will not get the category, making it even that much more difficult. All right, Steven's score is locked in. It's pretty good. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Steven.
Nothing Compares to You, Sinead O'Connor.
Correct. In 1986, Prince sent two recordings to which band that turned one of them, Manic Monday, into a signature hit?
The Bangles.
Correct. Which queen of funk became the first R&B artist to have a crossover hit with a rapper when she recorded a cover of Prince's I Feel For You in 1984?
Chaka Khan.
Correct. Stand Back was a 1985 solo hit for which raspy artist who recorded the
Stevie
song?
Nicks.
Correct. Which singer and drummer started collaborating with Prince at the start of her solo career?
Sheila E.
Wow! A 5-5 tie today. Steven and Steven both know their stuff.
Spent my entire weekend listening to Prince.
Yeah,
literally
written
all
by
it.
Prince was that category.
Yeah.
So you, it's been on the board for a few days.
But I was in
you were well prepared for it.
Deep Prince rabbit hole.
Steven was as well. He is into
good
the
rabbit
drawing.
Hole to go down.
Yeah, it is.
And
yeah, it is.
I had no idea that that Chaka Khan song was actually a Prince song.
I feel for you.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan, Chaka let me rock you. Let me move you, Chaka Khan. Let me rock you. It's all I want to
no
do,
idea
Chaka
on
Khan.
That one. Great job, both of you today.
Good job, Steven.
Well-played game of Take on Woods.
Whew. It was a toughie. Not really.
All right, Don't Do This is coming up next.
Oh, man. Chaka Khan. Former big league pitcher had a rough day yesterday.
I saw that one.
It was, it's like my second biggest fear as a parent that things like this will happen.
And maybe one of the cooler prom invitations you're going to see involving a big time Major League Baseball
star. Promposal.
That's what they call them.
Yes. This was unbelievable.
I have a lot of questions.
I have hours and reams of questions about how this happened. We'll play that audio for you as well.
It's coming up after a check of traffic with Kelly. More Ben and Woods on the way on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, brought to you each morning by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thecrafttaco.com. And we'll get started. I'll admit, I don't remember this guy in the big leagues.
I don't either.
Gnarly story, nonetheless.
Parents out there, be vigilant. Be as vigilant as you can possibly be. There are millions of creeps, and they're everywhere. And I'm, you know, you don't want to scare your kids, but they have to be aware that there are people out like this. I mean, I follow a couple of Twitter pages that basically dedicate their lives to outing these predators of children. And it just, I'll find myself doom scrolling it for hours and hyper vigilant to it with two kids. But former Boston Red Sox pitcher Austin Maddox was arrested in an underage search thing after he got caught trying to meet up with a 14-year-old girl. One of 28 people arrested in the sting in Florida was seen trying to enter a home. Police officers had set the trap. They were inside the door. There's video of it. They just come out and just tackle him, get him on the ground. Slapped with four felony counts, including traveling to meet after using a computer to solicit a child. Listen to this. After finding out the girl he thought he was messaging was 14, Maddox allegedly said, "That's young, baby. I get in trouble for that. You can't even drive. You gonna stay with me all night?" He then agreed to meet up with the girl, where he was arrested. They let him bond out. I mean, I don't know if he's out, but they gave him bail, $300,000 bond. It says he's being held, so maybe he's not out of jail yet. But he's, I mean, you're done.
Their video, the sting, pretty clearly.
Yeah, the sting is pretty. There's six cops that are waiting inside.
Inside. There's video outside of him approaching the door. And then there's video inside of the cops looking like basically a defensive line of linebackers
ready to rush the quarterback
through the door. And they just take off as soon as the door opens. No idea what hit him.
I just try to tell like my kids all the time, just trust no one. And if you're a parent and your kids are online and stuff, just got to be extra vigilant. I don't want to get on a soapbox or anything, but I would hate for that to happen to you or your kids or anything like that. So, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's so disturbing, dude. Throw him to the dogs, man. Seriously.
We don't need that guy around.
He doesn't need to be around. He doesn't need to be bonded out. This is the time that he got caught. You know, was it his first time he ever attempted it? Who knows? But it just, I watched it and it just makes my stomach churn when I see it. What an interesting job that would be, to be one of those police officers that has to see that every day. And while it's probably really fulfilling to get one of those guys off the street, it's got to mess with you, the sheer volume.
Oh, yeah.
There was 28 people in this sting. 28. Those are the ones they caught. Those are the ones that crossed the line. Think about how many out there, you know, are going to attempt it or have already gotten away with it. And so just please be vigilant as you can be.
Let's see. This one isn't actually a sports story, and it's very sad, but other than the fact that athletes do a ton of travel through the air. Did you see this Singapore Airlines flight? One person is dead. Several others are injured just after hitting severe turbulence during the flight from Singapore to London yesterday. It was a Boeing 777, had to be diverted to Bangkok for an emergency landing. They have not specified how many people were injured. Do you put your seatbelt on when they tell you?
Yes.
And you're just sitting there and everything seems as smooth as possible.
I always fear going to the bathroom and going, you know, number one, and then we hit some turbulence. My head hits the ceiling and breaks my neck.
They didn't say how the person passed away, but you've got to imagine something like that a quick drop. And if you're not in your seatbelt or you're walking in the aisle at that moment, you just go flying and you could hit anything in that scenario. And it is fairly rare, but we've all been on flights with bad turbulence. It is
not
that,
fun,
that is
man.
Gnarly. It is not fun to do that. And I saw that was a scary story. You just wonder, I mean, how many flights do you go on a year?
A few.
One, two,
three, four, maybe.
You know, well, I guess round trips, three or four. But, you know, athletes, like baseball team, you're on literally,
constant.
What, 60 to 70 flights every single year, road trips, back.
It'd be the toughest part of the gig for me.
Yeah.
All that travel. It just grinds you down. You never really think about it, too. But, yeah, that is pretty gnarly. This is not gnarly. This is awesome. Pauly sent this over.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
So a young man in, I'm assuming, the Philadelphia area. Is that a safe assumption?
I would assume.
So this popped up on TikTok yesterday, and it's prom season. Your son, Graham, just went to prom the other night, Benjamin. And how did he ask his date?
I'm not sure, because my son is actually a freshman in college. His girlfriend is the one who was still a senior in high school.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know how it ended up.
Jersey.
Because it was her prom, not his prom.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So she probably asked.
Jersey's Philadelphia.
Yeah, Jersey's
suburban
basically
Philadelphia.
Right. Jake Portello, he's a senior at Haddonfield Memorial High School, said he simply knocked on Bryce Harper's door and asked if he would help with his promposal. I knocked on his door. He seemed cool with it at first. Then he was like, can I get your email so we can plan this out? And as I was leaving, he was like, why don't we do this right now? So they went to this girl's house. They knock on the door, and this young woman, Julia, comes out.
Wait, Bryce went with?
Yes.
Like went with the kid?
Yes.
To her house?
Now, maybe.
You know what? Let's just knock it out now.
Yeah, let's just do this
now. I totally thought he made a video.
No,
dude.
For her.
He's there.
He's on her doorstep.
On her stoop.
He's actually there.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Julia.
I'm going to cry.
How's it going? Jake wants to ask you prom, so I thought I'd let him know.
Yeah. I'd love to.
Jake wants to ask you to prom, so I thought I'd help him out.
So are you going to prom with him?
Yes!
Awesome! There you go.
There it is.
All right.
Gives her a hug.
Yeah, gives her a hug. She hugged
Bryce. Doesn't give Jake a hug.
She hugged Bryce before she hugged Jake. And then...
Okay.
Then she gives him a hug, and Dad comes out.
Harper's here. Doorstep.
She says, I wasn't expecting this. I thought it'd be something cool among my friends and people in my town and stuff. I didn't even expect Harper to open the door in the first place. So their prom is June 14th, and Bryce Harper... What a good guy he is. Now, I've gotten some weird requests over the years from our audience and stuff. Our friend Stewie asked me to go down to Petco Park and get him a period, like a period that you would sew on a jersey.
A dot.
Like Tatis Jr. period.
Yeah, and the jersey was missing the period after junior. And he said, hey, if you're down there, will you grab me a period? And I said, no, I won't. I'm sorry. Does that make me... a bad person?
No.
I didn't think so, but instantly I
Bryce
felt
Harper
bad.
A pretty awesome person to do this.
Now, if again, he said, hey, next time you go to Citizens Bank, will you go to the storeroom and grab me a period for my jersey? Bryce would be like, why don't you go F yourself? How about that?
This does open the door, though.
Oh, it does. Now, people are going to be knocking on his door.
Well, and I mean, you know, Manny lives down the street.
Yeah.
He's going to be knocked. Don't be knocked. You can't just go knocking on famous people's doors and asking them for favors all the time.
I'll take it a step further. Don't knock on anyone's door.
That's a good point, too,
Paul. If you know a famous person lives there, maybe you don't knock on the door. Look, it worked out cool, and Bryce was cool about it, but that could have gone sideways real fast. And that's actually kind of scary for Bryce Harper when some kid's knocking on his
door. I'm Jake. I was wondering... could you help me with my prom proposal, and can I also show you the path to peace and enlightenment?
Yes, exactly. Also, can we talk about your bat path lately? Because that's been... you need more spine tilt.
Bryce is going to have a security gate installed by the weekend.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I get it. Chris says the kids are all rich living in Bryce's neighborhood. Yeah, 100%. But... it doesn't mean...
it's not any less annoying
not
when
any
a rich
less,
person knocks on your door.
Yeah, don't knock on anybody's door. Ever. Unless they know you're coming. Don't drop in on anybody. Anyone.
I don't even like the guy that knocks on my door. Hey, we're installing solar panels in your neighborhood.
Yeah, Jeffrey says, so two stories about
If a famous person moves next door to you, do you like invite them over for dinner or
no.
do you just leave them alone?
Leave them alone. Say hi.
Like in the yard next door?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah, how are you? I have a famous person who lives a few houses down from me.
Oh.
I see him, I wave.
I thought you were the famous person that lived a few houses down from people.
I can never quite reach the most famous in my neighborhood because of my neighbor.
Else.
Yeah. Sucks. Like my high school. Can't be the most famous person in my high school. Chip Gaines is from my high school. Post Malone went to my high school. So I'm way down the list.
That is Don't and Do Do This for Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, you thought the home run calls for Ha Sung Kim and Korean were good. Wait until you hear the over-the-shoulder catch in the ninth inning of Game 1 yesterday. We'll have that audio for you and more. Coming up, don't forget Xander Schauffele an hour from now. PGA Champion's going to be live with us here on Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
That feels good, doesn't it? Mm. Some of you can't hear that in the chat, so sorry. That's just a song.
For those who can, what are we listening to?
That's the Sacred Souls, the Sacred Souls from San Diego.
The
Sacred Souls.
Like Megan Thee Stallion?
Yes, like Megan Thee Stallion. Newly minted.
This hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Get my camera set up here. We'll take a check of traffic and then come back. Want to play that Korean call of really a phenomenal catch by Ha Sung Kim in the ninth inning
it's
yesterday.
So huge.
In game one.
Letting that, if that drops, a little bleeder off the bat, momentum goes, you know, in their favor, be able to get the tying
winning,
run, right?
Winning run on
first
base.
Winning run at the plate.
Yeah, the tying run at first base.
Nobody out. Incredible.
We'll get to that right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
One and two to Harris. One for four with an RBI single in the first inning. Pitch from Suarez, lined softly into shallow center. Kim racing back from short. Over the shoulder, slides and makes the catch. What a play by Ha-Sung Kim, and one down here in the bottom of the ninth inning.
What a terrific play by Ha-Sung Kim.
I really thought he had no chance.
Same.
Of making that catch. Obviously, Jack Camaro.
Just don't collide to each
yes,
other.
Yes, just don't slam into each
other. Wasn't
going to
get there from center field, so that was going to bloop in.
Oof.
Braves were going to have the lead runner on in a 6-5 game in the bottom of the ninth inning. Now, maybe Robert Suarez would have still come back and gotten everybody out like he's done most of the season, but it adds a high wire act element to a ninth inning that I did not need on my stress level in the game one of the doubleheader yesterday.
Over the shoulder, looking up kind of into the sun, hits the glove. You see him just secure it, hits the ground, pops up, and just is the most animated I think I've ever seen him.
Did it with style.
Did it with style. Dude, looked beautiful.
Bouncing up into the air and just, whoa!
And then Jackson screaming next. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Awesome. And emotions were already heightened after the 6-run comeback, clearly.
God, that was great.
We've heard how excited the Korean play-by-play guys get when Ha-Sung Kim goes deep, even when it's already an 8-0 game. So I figured they must have gotten pretty crazy for the call of the catch yesterday, and Paulie has done his thing and acquired it for us.
걷어올린 타구입니다.
자, 김하성!
애매한이 친대. 와! 김하성!
와!
와! 김하성이 잡아내고 포효합니다.
이야, 이거는 정말 어마어마한 슈퍼 캐치.
와,
슈퍼 캐치. 오늘 앞선 슈퍼 캐치.
슈퍼 캐치. That works in any language.
That,
right
whoa! That really was a super catch.
Yeah, like they're watching fireworks. Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ah.
Ooh. They all do it at the same time, too, which is great.
Jake. 걷어올린 타구입니다.
자, 김하성!
애매한 위치인데. 와! 김하성!
Really in sync.
Kim Ha-Sung.
Because they do it the
super catch.
Last name first,
right.
And then first name last.
Higgins Ben.
Woods.
Steven
Wood, Steve
Randall Paul. Jake had a really nice play on the
right
next play.
That, yeah.
I mean, it was just like nothing they could do was going to get through at that point. And 7 pitches for Bobby Fastballs, another save for him, a massive comeback win, picking up Dylan Cease, who was not great. He was not great. I did get a text from a friend that said, "Oh, the Ben and Woods curse strikes again." And I said, "Listen to me, USOB. We did interview Dylan after his last start against the Rockies, and that would be pre his start against Atlanta." And I said, "I beg to differ. Now, we gave you Darvish a t-shirt. He's chosen to wear it. He's been lights out. We gave Dylan Cease a t-shirt. Mm. I have not seen him in it yet. And, you know, this is what can happen when things like when you, you know, maybe don't lean into it. So maybe if somebody wants to get that message to him, throw that on."
We're not making threats here. No,
it's not a threat.
Spitting facts.
I mean, if you want to go 7 shutout innings in your next start, okay.
Jackson Merrill wore his shirt.
Sure did. Boy, what a season he's having.
Pretty good start to the year.
So yeah.
It's probably a case of overthinking stuff, but there was a lot made that Dylan Cease returning home to the Atlanta area.
Is he from Hotlanta?
Yeah, a lot of friends and family.
Why did I think he was from California?
At the game.
He did?
Yeah, or he lives there. He hosted players like at his house, I think.
I feel like you're just making stuff up. No, I heard about the honey.
Yeah, he brought honey in for everyone that
his
dad.
From Milton, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Dad harvested.
All right. That makes a little bit more sense. I missed the background.
It doesn't explain necessarily pitching bad. There's no rule that says just because you're home,
no,
you have to be overhyped and pitch poorly. But I did hear Jesse even mention that in the first inning. Maybe some extra adrenaline.
Yeah, extra nerves.
Not helping him get off to a great start. Atlanta, you know, even though they actually have struggled offensively this week, and they actually have a really good and deep offense. They hit a ton of home runs. They sent all kinds of records last year. It's a tough lineup to face, even if it's not clicking on all cylinders.
100%.
So you can't just simply go, "Well, Dylan was off his game."
Well,
Dylan
was 3 walks for him. He couldn't.
It's not totally. He walks 3 guys sometimes.
Yeah, he does. You know. But he couldn't locate.
Yeah,
you know, the location was off. Just wasn't landing his pitches. And again, you could tell visibly frustrated, probably I would say the most visibly frustrated that we've seen this year. And Ruben came out to try to calm him down. But yeah, man, just listen, not a great day in the big leagues. His team picked him up and that's incredible. And I know he's feeling phenomenal about that, that they were able to come in and get a bunch of runs and get him off the hook. Nobody wants to hold that L. you know, needing to be that stopper and that game that you feel like you should win. You roll your A team out there, and yeah, nobody wants to go out and give up five runs in six innings or whatever. And he was great. Pitched, you know, I mean, he didn't pitch great, but it was great that the team was able to pick him up.
The upside of taking 3 of 4 from the Braves, of course, in a part of just winning another series, is that the Braves will come back to Petco Park in July. Padres only need to win one more time to clinch the season series again against the Atlanta Braves. Remember, they won the season series last year as well, but they already have the season series win over the Cubs because they're done with their games against the Cubs. Get one more win against the Braves. Those are the two teams right now that are first and second in the National League wild card race. Padres right now are in third with the 500 record, but that could change, you know, over the course of the summer. You may be battling against those teams either for a playoff spot or playoff seeding, you know, home field in the first round. To own the tiebreaker against both of those teams is a very valuable thing. So, you know, circle those games in July. Padres, obviously, you want to win the series, but you've got to take at least one of those to make sure that you've got the tiebreaker. Because with the way the Phillies are playing, certainly looks like Atlanta might be playing for a wild card this year.
Yeah, man.
And not necessarily a National League East title.
That's a really good point you make. I mean, these are big wins. They're big, big wins against this team on the road. You know, keep these guys on the road as long as we can. They have really played lights out. I wanted to ask you a question because I did see it pop up in the chat. I wasn't ignoring you. I believe it was Abraham when he asked earlier about Jackson Merrill sitting for game two. And I think I said last week on the roundtable, I want Jackson Merrill and Luis Arraez in the lineup at every opportunity that they can. Now, again, let's submit that we don't know everything that there is to know. Jackson Merrill did miss a couple of games.
I will accept your submission.
Thank you very much.
That we don't know everything.
Correct. And we don't know the logic or reasoning.
Paul, you second that as well? We yes. don't know everything.
Other than he's a rookie and he's never played, you know, they want to, it seems counterproductive to say, well, yeah, he's a rookie. He's young. He can handle the grind of a long season, right? He can handle. But if you're going to sit him, you sit him against Chris Sale, even though I feel like he probably could have scratched out a couple of knocks because he gives you like the second best AB on the team. Maybe the first sometimes.
You do have to be fluid in your evaluation. At the start of the season, I remember Mike Schilt saying, yeah, we're not going to press him too much. He's, you know, we already pressed him to be in the big leagues at age 20 to start the year, now 21 years old. We're not going to overly press him, overly tax him. We want to put him in good situations and not, you know, put him against the toughest necessarily lefties, so he's going to struggle. That being said, you're right, Woods. He puts together good at-bats. Both sides of the mound, whoever he's facing, he's putting together good at-bats.
Basically
he's,
sparked that comeback.
He certainly earned the opportunity to be in the lineup as often as possible. And while Luis Arraez has been in there every day since we talked about it, I don't think he has missed a game. Jackson did get another day off in the second game of a doubleheader. I do think that part of that factor, though, is that there's really no one else to sit. If you ever want to get your fourth outfielder into a game, if you want Sugar to play at all, you're not benching Tatis right now very often, and you're not benching Profar. Profar started every game. I think Tatis has started. Has he started every game as well?
Yeah.
You don't take those guys out of your lineup. So the only guy you can ever take out is probably Jackson Merrill. And the time you will take him out will be against a tough lefty because you've got the righty in Azokar who plays good defense, can play center field. So unless you're just planning on playing all three outfielders every single day of the season and letting Jose Azokar just rot forever, which, of course, is not something most managers want to do. They want to try to get a couple of at-bats every few games for their fourth outfielder, their bench guys to keep them fresh for when they're going to need them at some point during the season. Merrill against a tough lefty is the logical place to give a guy a day off.
Okay, so it was when Jackson Merrill was 2 weeks into the big leagues. And now with his body of work, that's when I look at it and go, man, the body of work says to me that you've got to keep him in there. He needs to be in the lineup because he's a really good hitter. He really puts together good ABs. And I would hate, I guess, look, I don't run a big league club. I never have. But I do, understand the concept of resting players. I do. I absolutely understand it. And we talked to Mike Schilt about the Padres being on somewhat the forefront of managing everything that they do. Now, maybe they looked at what Jackson Merrill did in game one, and maybe he was in the red, and they said he's had high-stress catches, he's done this, he's done that, he's had sprinted out a couple knocks, whatever. Perfect time against Chris Sale to give him a day off. I can absolutely go the other way. I can absolutely say that Jackson Merrill is young and his legs can handle it and he can do this. Now, again, submitting that I don't know. Does he have a tweak in his groin? Is he still fighting through that? And you know, playing 18 innings was not the best move for him yesterday. Yeah, that's obviously something that could happen. But I don't know everything. All I know is that we are a better team with him in the lineup than we are with Sugar in the lineup. Now, if you want to get Sugar some playing time, you could DH Profar if you wanted to. You could. There's a lot of things you can do. They have options on this team. I just getting ABs for Sugar
but
is not
if you
my
DH Profar. Assuming they're facing a lefty, and you DH Profar, Manny's probably playing
third, which he's done.
But that means someone else is going to have to sit either Arraez or Bogarts. Now,
well, Xander's out potentially.
Now Xander's out, but until potentially being hurt, and we don't know that. He's day to day. He could be right back right away. There's someone who has to sit.
Well, you could DH Merrill too. Yeah, I mean,
in most situations.
It just for me, he gives you such a good AB. They're not using him like a platoon.
Fine.
It's
the,
not platoon.
The last point though. And I'm not trying to take sides here, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They've been playing Jackson Merrill pretty much five out of every six games. He's been doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
Why all of a sudden are you going to change the strategy that's been working so well for you?
But you're a 500 team. So
it's working for Jackson. It's not necessarily working for the team to take him out.
Again, like,
are you losing the games that he's not playing? I guess so, because you haven't done well against lefties.
Yeah.
And he has generally been out of the lineup against lefties. So maybe that is something to reevaluate then going forward.
Yeah, I mean, they have an idea of how he's best served. I don't. I'm just saying he gives you really one and 1A is him and Luis Arraez.
It's crazy how the Padres have struggled against lefties.
It is. Because
usually, I mean, in the past, these guys have always mashed lefties.
Well, we
Tatis,
said it.
Machado,
they're,
Bogarts.
They're all righties, you know, for the most
part. They all
part.
Mash lefties, yeah. And they're not. No one's doing it this year. Even Campy is not doing it. All right, we got 2 hours to go, including Xander Schauffele in our next hour here with Ben and Woods on The Fan.
That feels good, doesn't it? Mm. Some of you can't hear that in the chat, so sorry. That's just a song.
For those who can, what are we listening to?
That's the Sacred Souls, the Sacred Souls from San Diego.
The
Sacred Souls.
Like Megan Thee Stallion?
Yes, like Megan Thee Stallion. Newly minted.
This hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Get my camera set up here. We'll take a check of traffic and then come back. Want to play that Korean call of really a phenomenal catch by Ha-Sung Kim in the ninth inning yesterday.
So huge.
In game one.
If that drops, a little bleeder off the bat, momentum goes, you know, in their favor, be able to get the tying run, right?
Winning run on
first
base.
Winning run at the plate.
Yeah. The tying run at first base.
Nobody out. Incredible.
We'll get to that right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
1-2 to Harris. 1-for-4 with an RBI single in the first inning. Pitch from Suarez. Lined softly into shallow center. Kim racing back from short. Over the shoulder. Slides and makes the catch. What a play by Ha-Sung Kim, and one down here in the bottom of the ninth inning.
What a terrific play by Ha-Sung Kim.
I really thought he had no chance
of
making that catch. Obviously, Jackson Merrill.
Just don't collide to each
other.
Yes,
just don't slam into each
other. Wasn't going to get there from center field, so that was going to bloop in.
Oof.
Braves were going to have the lead runner on in a 6-5 game in the bottom of the ninth inning. Now, maybe Robert Suarez would have still come back and gotten everybody out like he's done most of the season, but it adds a high wire act element to a ninth inning that I did not need on my stress level in the game one of the doubleheader yesterday.
Over the shoulder, looking up kind of into the sun, hits the glove. You see him just secure it, hits the ground, pops up, and just is the most animated I think I've ever seen him.
Did it with style.
Did it with style. Dude, looked beautiful.
Bouncing up into the air and just, whoa!
And then Jackson screaming next. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Awesome. And emotions were already heightened after the six-run comeback, clearly.
God, that was great.
We've heard how excited the Korean play-by-play guys get when Ha-Sung Kim goes deep, even when it's already an 8-0 game. So I figured they must have gotten pretty crazy for the call of the catch yesterday, and Paulie has done his thing and acquired it for us.
걷어올린 타구입니다.
자, 김하성!
애매한이 친대. 와! 김하성!
와!
와! 김하성이 잡아내고 포효합니다.
이야, 이거는 정말 어마어마한 슈퍼 캐치.
와, 슈퍼 캐치.
오늘 앞선
슈퍼 캐치.
슈퍼 캐치. That works in any language.
That,
right
there. Wow! That really was a super catch.
Yeah, like they're watching fireworks. Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Ah. Ooh. They all do it at the same time, too, which is great.
Jake. 걷어올린 타구입니다.
자, 김하성!
애매한 위치인데. 와! 김하성!
Really in sync.
김하성.
Because they do it the
super catch.
Last name first,
right.
And then first name last.
Higgins Ben.
Woods.
Steven
Wood, Steve
Randall Paul. Jake had a really nice play on the
right
next play.
That, yeah.
I mean, it was just like nothing they could do was going to get through at that point. And 7 pitches for Bobby Fastballs, another save for him, a massive comeback win, picking up Dylan Cease, who was not great. He was not great. I did get a text from a friend that said, "Oh, the Ben and Woods curse strikes again." And I said, "Listen to me, USOB. We did interview Dylan after his last start against the Rockies, and that would be pre his start against Atlanta." And I said, "I beg to differ. Now, we gave you Darvish a t-shirt. He's chosen to wear it. He's been lights out. We gave Dylan Cease a t-shirt. Mm. I have not seen him in it yet. And, you know, this is what can happen when things like when you, you know, maybe don't lean into it. So maybe if somebody wants to get that message to him, throw that on."
We're not making threats here.
No, it's not a threat.
Spitting facts.
I mean, if you want to go 7 shutout innings in your next start, okay.
Jackson Merrill wore his shirt.
Sure did. Boy, what a season he's having.
Pretty good start to the year.
So yeah.
It's probably a case of overthinking stuff, but there was a lot made that Dylan Cease returning home to the Atlanta area.
Is he from Hotlanta?
Yeah, a lot of friends and family.
Why did I think he was from California?
At the game.
He did?
Yeah, or he lives there. He hosted players like at his house, I think.
I feel like you're just making stuff up. No, I heard about the honey.
Yeah, he brought honey in for everyone that
He's
his dad.
From Milton, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Dad harvested.
All right. That makes a little bit more sense. I missed the background.
It doesn't explain necessarily pitching bad. There's no rule that says just because you're home, you have to be overhyped and pitch poorly. But I did hear Jesse even mention that in the first inning, maybe some extra adrenaline.
Yeah, extra nerves.
Not helping him get off to a great start. Atlanta, even though they actually have struggled offensively this week, and they actually have a really good and deep offense. They hit a ton of home runs. They sent all kinds of records last year. It's a tough lineup to face, even if it's not clicking on all cylinders.
100%.
So you can't just simply go, "Well, Dylan was off his game."
Well,
Dylan
was 3 walks for him. He couldn't.
It's not totally. He walks 3 guys sometimes.
Yeah, he does. You know. But he couldn't locate.
Yeah,
you know, the location was off. Just wasn't landing his pitches, and again, you could tell visibly frustrated. Probably, I would say the most visibly frustrated that we've seen this year. And Ruben came out to try to calm him down, but yeah, man, just listen. Not a great day in the big leagues. His team picked him up, and that's incredible. And I know he's feeling phenomenal about that. That they were able to come in and get a bunch of runs and get him off the hook. Nobody wants to hold that L. You know, needing to be that stopper and that game that you feel like you should win, you roll your A team out there, and yeah, nobody wants to go out and give up 5 runs in 6 innings or whatever. And he was great. He didn't pitch great, but it was great that the team was able to pick him up.
The upside of taking 3 of 4 from the Braves, of course, in a part of just winning another series, is that the Braves will come back to Petco Park in July. Padres only need to win one more time to clinch the season series again against the Atlanta Braves. Remember, they won the season series last year as well, but they already have the season series win over the Cubs because they're done with their games against the Cubs. Get one more win against the Braves. Those are the two teams right now that are first and second in the National League wild card race. Padres right now are in third with the 500 record, but that could change, you know, over the course of the summer. You may be battling against those teams either for a playoff spot or playoff seeding, you know, home field in the first round. To own the tiebreaker against both of those teams is a very valuable thing. So, you know, circle those games in July. Padres, obviously you want to win the series, but you've got to take at least one of those to make sure that you've got the tiebreaker. Because with the way the Phillies are playing, certainly looks like Atlanta might be playing for a wild card this year.
Yeah, man.
And not necessarily a National League East title.
That's a really good point you make. I mean, these are big wins. They're big, big wins against this team on the road. You know, keep these guys on the road as long as we can. They have really played lights out. I wanted to ask you a question because I did see it pop up in the chat. I wasn't ignoring you. I believe it was Abraham when he asked earlier about Jackson Merrill sitting for game two. And I think I said last week on the roundtable, I want Jackson Merrill and Luis Arraez in the lineup at every opportunity that they can. Now, again, let's submit that we don't know everything that there is to know. Jackson Merrill did miss a couple of games.
I will accept your submission.
Thank you very much.
That we don't know everything.
Correct. And we don't know the logic or reasoning.
Paul, you second that as well? We don't know everything.
Other than he's a rookie. And he's never played, you know, they want to, it seems counterproductive to say, well, yeah, he's a rookie. He's young. He can handle the grind of a long season, right? He can handle. But if you're going to sit him, you sit him against Chris Sale, even though I feel like he probably could have scratched out a couple of knocks because he gives you like the second best AB on the team. Maybe the first sometimes.
You do have to be fluid in your evaluation. At the start of the season, I remember Mike Schilt saying, yeah, we're not going to press him too much. He's, you know, we already pressed him to be in the big leagues at age 20 to start the year, not 21 years old. We're not going to overly press him, overly tax him. We want to put him in good situations and not, you know, put him against the toughest necessarily lefties, so he's going to struggle. That being said, you're right, Woods. He puts together good at-bats. Both sides of the mound, whoever he's facing, he's putting together good at-bats.
Basically
he's,
sparked that comeback.
He certainly earned the opportunity to be in the lineup as often as possible. And while Luis Arraez has been in there every day since we talked about it, I don't think he has missed a game. Jackson did get another day off in the second game of a doubleheader. I do think that part of that factor, though, is that there's really no one else to sit. If you ever want to get your fourth outfielder into a game, if you want Sugar to play at all, you're not benching Tatis right now very often, and you're not benching Profar. Profar started every game. I think Tatis has started. Has he started every game as well?
Yeah.
You don't take those guys out of your lineup. So the only guy you can ever take out is probably Jackson Merrill. And the time you will take him out will be against a tough lefty because you've got the righty in Azokar who plays good defense, can play center field. So unless you're just planning on playing all three outfielders every single day of the season and letting Jose Azokar just rot forever, which, of course, is not something most managers want to do. They want to try to get a couple of at-bats every few games for their fourth outfielder, their bench guys, to keep them fresh for when they're going to need them at some point during the season. Merrill against a tough lefty is the logical place to give a guy a day off.
Okay, so it was. When Jackson Merrill was 2 weeks into the big leagues, and now with his body of work, that's when I look at it and go, man, the body of work says to me that you've got to keep him in there. He needs to be in the lineup because he's a really good hitter. He really puts together good ABs. And I would hate, I guess, look, I don't run a big league club. I never have. But I do understand the concept of resting players. I do. I absolutely understand it. And we talked to Mike Schilt about the Padres being on somewhat the forefront of managing everything that they do. Now, maybe they looked at what Jackson Merrill did in game one, and maybe he was in the red, and they said he's had high-stress catches. He's done this. He's done that. He's had sprinted out a couple knocks, whatever. Perfect time against Chris Sale to give him a day off. I can absolutely go the other way. I can absolutely say that Jackson Merrill is young and his legs can handle it and he can do this. Now, again, submitting that I don't know. Does he have a tweak in his groin? Is he still fighting through that? And you know, playing 18 innings was not the best move for him yesterday. Yeah, that's obviously something that could happen. But I don't know everything. All I know is that we are a better team with him in the lineup than we are with Sugar in the lineup. Now, if you want to get Sugar some playing time, you could DH Profar if you wanted to. You could. There's a lot of things you can do. They have options on this team. I just getting ABs for Sugar
but
is not
if you
my
DH Profar. Assuming they're facing a lefty,
uh-huh.
And you DH Profar, Manny's probably playing third,
which he's done.
But that means someone else is going to have to sit either Arraez or Bogarts. Now,
well, Xander's out potentially.
Now Xander's out, but until potentially being hurt, and we don't know that. He's day to day. He could be right back right away. There's someone who has to sit.
Well, you could DH Merrill too. Yeah, I mean,
in most situations,
it just for me, he gives you such a good AB. They're not using him like a platoon.
Fine.
It's not platoon.
The last point though, and I'm not trying to take sides here, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They've been playing Jackson Merrill pretty much five out of every six games. He's been doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
Why all of a sudden are you going to change the strategy that's been working so well for you?
But you're a 500 team. So,
it's working for Jackson. It's not necessarily working for the team to take him out.
Again, like,
are you losing the games that he's not playing? I guess so, because you haven't done well against lefties.
Yeah.
And he has generally been out of the lineup against lefties. So maybe that is something to reevaluate then going forward.
Yeah, I mean, they have an idea of how he's best served. I don't. I'm just saying he gives you really one and 1A is him and Luis Arraez.
It's crazy how the Padres have struggled against lefties.
It is. Because
usually, I mean, in the past, these guys have always mashed lefties.
Well, we
Tatis,
said it.
Machado, Bogarts.
They're all righties, you know, for the most
part.
They
all mash lefties, and they're not. No one's doing it this year. Even Campy is not doing it. All right, we got 2 hours to go, including Xander Schauffele in our next hour here with Bennett Woods on The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.